Mark chapter 3.
Marko wa 3, wana Marko 3.
I'm going to read from verse 13 to 15.
Jambira verse 13 mpaka 15.
And it says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. Did you notice? What did he do? He called. Verse 14. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. Some versions, it might say he appointed 12 and designated them to be apostles. Can I just read that, Olive, verses 13 to 15?
Marko 3, yambira verse 13 to 15. Yesu anabwira mukhiri ndipo anayitana amene anawafuna ndipo anabwira kwa iye. Iye anasankha khumi ndi awiri nawayika akhale atumwi pokhala ndi iye aziwatuma kulalikira ndi kuti akhale ndi ulamuliro odutsa.
There's a very interesting template that we see here. So Jesus, it says he goes up onto this mountain, on the side of the mountain, and he calls those people that he wanted, his followers. It looks like, it appears like this was a very big group. And out of that group, he then also called these 12. And we're told why he called them. Number one, it says he wanted them to be with him. He wanted them to preach and then to cast out demons. And before we just explain that, can I just call our attention to look at the order here? The first thing he called them for was to be with him. And then the preaching and then the casting of demons comes later. Do we see that? Very important that Jesus wants a relationship with you first. Many times, even as a church, we have made this mistake of saying, let us go and pray for people out in the streets. Let's cast out the demons. But we don't have that relationship with Jesus. Point number one, the first step is be with him. And each of us has been called. We could put our calling into this template that we see here. Firstly, you are called to be with Jesus. And what that means is Jesus wants you to be saved and to come into a relationship with him. How many of us have responded to that call? How many of us are saved in this place? How many of us will say, I have a relationship with Jesus, he is my Lord and my Savior? That is the sense in which being with him being meant here. But there's also another sense that Jesus is calling them or calling us to be in an intimate relationship with him. You have to now start walking with him. Just as you have received the Lord as your Savior, walk in him. That's what he says in Colossians. That means day by day there should be some kind of communion between you and the Lord. You cannot get married to a woman and only meet with that woman on the wedding day. You exchange vows and give each other rings. And then you go and you never talk. And then you go and this one stays in that house and in that house. But many of us have that kind of relationship with you. We said yes to him that day. And that was it. We don't pray. We don't read scripture. We never gather with other believers. Jesus wants you to be in relationship with him. That is how we are called. We are also called to preach or to share the gospel. Go into all the world. Tell them the good news. Each one of us has got that responsibility. When last did you talk to someone about Jesus? Any of us, if we are to be honest, coward. Myself included. People don't even know that we are Christians. If you are sitting in that minibus and they start discussions about the gospel, you just wish, I would just get to my stop and get out. Because I have nothing to say. Some of us, if our neighbors knew that we're Christian, I know that you are a Christian. We are so undercover that nobody knows. But the calling is for us to tell others about Jesus. Can you resolve to tell someone about Jesus this week? Even to just say, hey, you know, I go to church, you know. Just that. Let it be known. Third part of the calling. He called them to cast out demons. We are called to pray for people so that demons come out. But this is not the only meaning of this part. What it means is Jesus has empowered us to do some works in a supernatural way. So when we teach children, for example, we can do it out of the calling that He has put on us. We can do it out of the empowering that He gives us by the Holy Spirit. When we go and help those that need help, this is part of the work that we've been called to. Do you know that you are fighting spiritual warfare when you give? If you are giving because you believe the Lord wants you to give. In other words, all the things that we do as Christians, the works that we do, they can come under this casting out of demons. Because what we are basically doing is we are taking what Satan has done and making it right through the power of Jesus. So every single one of us is called to this. Now here is my question. Are you walking in all these things? Are you walking in the fullness of what God has called you to? Some of us have a pretty good idea of what God has called us to. We know it in there. We know that I'm an eagle. But I'm staying with chicken. And I'm behaving like a chicken. And I've just settled. I need to move. I need to start spreading my wings. Are you doing that? If not, the question is, why? What's stopping you from that? And we come back to that statement of Marx's that he started with. It's time to let go of those things that are stopping you. Friends, there can be so many things that you can talk about. You can talk about sin. We can talk about maybe ignorance. But I want to talk about one thing which seems like it's just a simple thing and it's not so bad. But it's one of the greatest enemies against us doing what God wants us to do. And this is something called comfort. We have become comfortable. You are comfortable where you are. don't like change. You don't like to move. You don't like to be flexible. Flexible. You don't like to, This is why we come to church and we sit in the same chair every week. Out of comfort. When we find a spot in life, we're so happy with that. And we don't want to change. And when something comes that challenges that thing, we simply block it. Because comfort is speaking louder than even the voice of God. I saw something, and this is something that actually started me thinking and going on this journey of this message. I saw on somebody's status, they had written, there was this statement written. Your comfort is killing calling. Many of us are in this boat. Your comfort is killing your calling. God has called you to all these things that we're talking about. But because you are comfortable over here, you are failing to make the journey from here to where God wants you to be. There are so many things that if we did in our lives, we would move from where we are to another place. If we prayed more, if we read our scripture, if we fasted, we haven't talked about fasting a lot in here. I actually don't know if we have ever fasted since I've been in here. We did fast with all the other congregations, I remember. But just as this particular church, I'm not very sure that we have fasted. And I have been here 1 year, 5 months. Maybe if we fasted, we would see ourselves moving higher. How about giving up of sin in our lives? If we gave up the sin that is in our lives, maybe we'll see that we will get to another place. Or some habits that we have that you may not classify as sin. Just a habit. Some of us have a habit of sleeping too much. How about some character issues that need to be adjusted? Maybe just that pride that you have. And you're so comfortable in who you are that you don't want to change. If we would just be serious about church things, if we would be committed, commitment means I'm there when I should be there. And I'm there on time. And I'm there no matter what. I'm going to do this thing that I've said I'm going to do. Does that describe you? Comfort is killing all those things and stopping all those things from happening. Let me give you what I mean by comfort. Just some few examples, and then you guys, I think you're smart enough to then get it. We have already alluded to this thing called sleep. Sleeping. I like that word. And the way you say it is very nice. Some of us, even in here, some will be sleeping. So when you say, I'm supposed to wake up and pray, but sleep is there. Oh, this is so comfortable. And I put Amy to sleep. I think yesterday was the night before last. She pulled up his blanket.
Yeah, and I think a blanket is
like, ah.
Many of us, this is where we are. Wake up and pray. Oh, so comfy. There's a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock on Sunday.
Oh,
so comfy. We love to sleep. And we cannot wake up to pray. It's comfort. How about food? The reason why many of us do not fast is simply because food is very good. And it's very uncomfortable to have no food here. How many of us have never fasted here? Sorry? Have ever fasted? Not never. If you have fasted in your life, how is it? Is it great? She's the star, this one. It's quite painful though, isn't it? And hard. To go without food. Just for 2 hours. Some of us will be wanting to die. But fair warning, it's coming, guys. We're going to be fasting. Because we need to do these things. How about time with friends? It's another comfort. Where we love to sit with our friends and chat and chat and chat. Or walk or do all these things. And kingdom business is left lying there. Because we are busy with our friends. Time on the internet.
How we about by internet?
Or maybe on the phone.
Phone.
Sometimes there isn't even data in your phone, but you're still there.
Mufoni mujaru muri bendi bando kama muri busy de basta phone.
Maybe it's games.
We na mumasera bo masera ba phone bag.
I don't know. There's just this. The devil gave us this little thing, you know.
But it so.
I mean, it's a blessing of God, but the devil took advantage of. It's just something that makes you every time. If you were sitting with people, the moment people stand up and go away, it's almost like this is your friend now. You just take it out and you are back. We are addicted to our phone. We are addicted to things that we see on our phone. Some of us, it's games.
Yes,
AFCON was happening all along. Hey, Pastor. Jesus, can you just sit here for a while because AFCON is happening? I'll see you afterwards. Have you seen Kamuzu Stadium on a Sunday? When there's a game there, you can't drive past that roundabout.
People coming from
watching soccer. These people are not in church. Maybe one day we should say there's a soccer game here. And they all come. And we put a preacher in front of them. Because games sometimes. A place of comfort
for us.
And they stop us from moving in what God wants us to do. Your home. Some of us have got nice homes where we just love to be in our home. We don't want to leave our home. We don't want to go to church because I'm in my home. I don't want to go to community because I'm in my home. Or maybe I should just say home, not just your home. Because some of us, it's not our home that we love, but we love the homes of others. This morning I'm in this one's home. Tomorrow I'm in that one's home. And then next I'm in that one's
home.
You know, yeah, we preach in X. So they were in each other's homes and so on. But they were there to actually be with the Lord. When we go into this home,
Is the Lord the center?
Oh, yes.
Or maybe it's another kind of comfort called gossip. Because that gossip is juicy, eh? When you hear that news, and it's inside you, it just has to come out. It's almost like this is going to pop if you don't say something. Comfort is killing our calling. Money is another piece of comfort. It can be us looking for money, neglecting the Lord, or it can be us trying to keep the money that we have and forgetting the Lord. We can go on and on and on. But I think you get the idea. If we choose all these things that I was talking about, we are left with no space for what God wants to do in our lives. Many of us would actually walk in a higher calling into more of what God has for us. If we could just allow ourselves to be a little less comfortable. I was listening to Dr. Charles Stanley this week. And he said, I'm just going to read out some things that he says. He said, you can never become the person God wants you to be if you are holding on to something that does not fit you. So many of the things that are doing are not befitting for the children of God. But we hold on to those things. And they are stopping us from becoming what God wants us to be. He carried on, he says, you can never enjoy the blessing of God if you are holding on to something that blocks a blessing. How many things are in your life that you know they actually block a blessing? In other words, things that you know God does not like this thing. But you hold on to that thing. Don't expect God to be blessing you. You can jump up and down and go to all those secret ngangas and whatever, charms and whatever. Blessing is not coming. Let go of the thing that is blocking that blessing. And you see God beginning to move. The last line that I'll read from says, the reason so many people are living hindered lives is because they have never fully yielded to Him. They say, Jesus is Lord, but my pocket is mine. Jesus is Lord, but my time is mine. Jesus is Lord, but my thoughts here, they are mine. You're not opening up for Jesus to come in there and make an inventory and tell you, this is not good, this is not good, this is not good. Yield ourselves to Him. Let me just share how we can get to this place. What can we do to heal this comfort that is killing our calling? You want to quickly go with me to Matthew chapter
26,
verses 39 to 41. Matthew
26,
starting from verse 39. Now, this is the story of Jesus just before he is crucified. We know the story very well. He goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and he is praying. And you remember the story? He goes, he prays, he finds them sleeping, and so on and so on. So we catch it in verse 39, where he says, he went a little farther on, threw himself face downwards on the ground,
and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he returned to the three disciples and found them. What's the word? Can you say it louder? Sleeping. And he said to Peter, not Peter Wille. He said to Peter, "How is it that you three were not able to watch with me for even 1 hour?" So all he needed was 1 hour. It was like, what? 1 hour? I can't do 1 minute. Keep watch, verse 41. Keep watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation. This is the part that I want. The spirit is willing, but the flesh.
Kenapo anabwera kwa ophunzira ake na wapeza ali mtulo. Iye anafunsa Petro kuti, "Kodi anthu inu simukanakhala maso pamodzi ndine kwa ola limodzi lokha? Kani maso ndikupemphera kuti musagwe m'mayesero. Mzimu ukufuna koma tsikuliro kuoka."
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Mzimu ukufuna koma tsikuliro kuoka.
There's another version which says, "You want to do what's right, but you are weak."
I'm
just going to share with us three things from this scripture.
For
the three strategies
of
killing comfort, so that comfort does not kill our calling. Number one is, know what God wants you to do. You need to know God's will for your life. And we've already shared three of those things. We said God wants you to be with Him, to have an intimate relationship. We said God wants you to tell others about Him. We said He wants you to do the works of the ministry. You know, there's also another calling unique to you. There's something that God wants you to do. Not the person next to you. No one in this world can do that thing except you. And you need to know what that thing is. Number two, before we go there, you notice that Jesus knew that he had to go to the cross. He knew that's what God wanted him to do. And some of the things that some of us are going to be called to do are not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. They're going to laugh at you and ridicule you and criticize you and cast you out. It's going to be painful. It was painful for Jesus. Number two, you need to know why God wants you to do that thing. So Jesus knew the importance of the cross. He knew that the cross was the way in which all of humanity was going to be saved. In other words, he knew the value of what God, his Father, was asking him to do. You know why sometimes we don't do what God calls us to do? It's because we look down upon it. We think it's not very important. Guys, every single thing that God wants you to do is important. Amen.
Amen.
When they say, "If you have got a scripture, please come and share the scripture," and you have the scripture that you're sensing God is giving you, that is very, very important. Don't say, "Ah, it's just a scripture, so we can do without it."
It's actually a mockery to God.
Because
why would God be giving you something that is silly that we can do without? It's just placing value on the things of God. On the things that God calls us to do. Those enemies of Nehemiah, they, I thought Louis was going to shoot me for a moment. He stood there, he was like, you remember what happened with Nehemiah when they saw that he had now built the wall and everything was done? They sent a message to him and they said, come, let's meet in this place in secret. They wanted to distract him from the word. Do you know how he replied? He said, why should I come up there? I cannot come up there because I'm doing great work over here. Is that how you consider your work? Your ministry? That this is great work. The Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the saints. That's something that God wants us to do. As you come on a Sunday, do you feel that I am doing great work here? This is so important for me to be there sharing with other people. When you guys are leading us in worship, do you feel that this is so important? That eternity hangs in the balance of some people because of what we are doing. Every little thing that we do in here, when you come in and you lift these chairs, or you sweep this floor, as you do it, as up to the Lord, you are doing great work. So when I say know why God wants you to do that thing, I'm saying you need to know the value. Someone is going to be in heaven one day because of the smile that you gave them and received them. Someone is going to be in heaven one day because of the cup of water that you gave them. Because of the few words that you said to them. Because of the prayer that you prayed that they will never know about. Let's not undervalue the things that we do for God. Then 1 Corinthians 15, it says, nothing we do for the Lord is ever in vain. It says, let us abound in the Lord's work. In other words, let's keep doing the Lord's work. So many of us are busy doing the devil's work. And we don't realize it. The devil has employed us. And we go for work every single day. And we neglect the Lord's work. We need to know the value of what we do for God. And then number three, you need to resolve to do God's will. Do what God wants you to do. Jesus went there. And he knows the cross is very difficult. He had seen people being crucified. He knew they were going to take off all of his clothes. They were going to put some nails into his hands. It was not going to be comfortable then. They don't bring you bananas and juice when you are on the cross. Why he did it? Because his father wanted him. That's why he said, not my will. Your will. You know what my will says? My will says, sleep a little bit more. The spirit is, which is willing, is saying, no, wake up and pray. My will says you can skip church this week. It's okay. There are 53 other Sundays. But I have to say, Is this what God wants for me? Once you identify what God wants you to do, then do it. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it's painful. You know that song which says trust and obey? Maybe the older-ish Christians in here might know it. Raise your hand if you know it. Trust and obey. Let's say the words together. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sometimes you just say, God, I don't even know. This doesn't make sense, but you want me to do this. So I'm going to do it. Resolve to do God's will. In Daniel, it says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the food that the king was giving. It's a way of thinking that says, I am standing here and I'm not going to move. This is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do that. Friends, God is calling us. He is calling us to more. He is calling us to higher. Our calling requires that we spend time with Him. Our calling requires that we spend time in prayer.
It
requires that we fast. We are being called to study scripture. We are being called to have the courage to go and pray for sick people. To open our homes, and maybe to enter other homes. To interact with people that we are not comfortable to interact with. To give our finances. To give our time. Give our hands. All this is not going to happen. We choose to be comfortable. What are you going to choose today? Are you going to choose comfort or calling? Scripture said, come up here. Are you going to say, it's too difficult for me to come up there? Or are you going to say, I've been called, let me come up? There are certain things for some of us that need to die. Things that we need to start putting together. Because we said your comfort is killing your calling. It's time for your calling to start killing this comfort. And for you, what is it? What is it that is hindering you? Is it your phone? Is it maybe your friends? Maybe the need to sleep? Money? Maybe just a lack of commitment in you? For some of us, it's not even something that can be called sin. But it's just you being in something which is not the will of God for your life. And you know that thing. Some of us need to start doing certain things. Maybe we need to start spending more time with Jesus. Maybe you need to start studying scripture more. Maybe you need to start praying more. Some of us need to be serious about church. There are certain relationships that some of us need to cut off. Some of us just need to submit. Once again, I'm bringing the calling that will have brought. Is there something that God is calling you to? Shall we stand as we respond? Is there something that He is calling you to? Is there something that you know needs to die? There's something that is hindering you from walking a higher walk with the Lord. We need to take some time to just start praying.